Kia ora, Peter. How are you?
I'm excellent, thank you.
I'm sorry, I'm a few minutes late. I got caught chatting about by-elections and the lack of interest in people voting in these local elections. And you know, I'm just maybe I've had too many glasses of water. I feel optimistic we can somehow get some hype happening. But anyway, that's a story for another minute. We are talking about something we've alluded to for the last couple of weeks. I'll let you explain.
Yes, this is the fall from grace of Michael Tait, who was the big figure in two of the big Christian rock bands, notably Newsboys, which was tremendously popular right across the world, including here. But he's now been accused, and I think cases are going to be brought against him of abuse of young men who looked at him in such adoration that they allowed themselves to be abused.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, DC Talk was his first
original band.
Band, and anyone who knows me, I was a Christian teenager, and DC Talk was like one of the first bands I really liked when I was a young teenager. And so we're talking 90s, early 90s here. And, you know, and it was sort of, they were superstars and got even bigger and bigger as, you know, beyond my, when I was around. And then, yeah, he joined the Newsboys and got even more and more famous. So he was, just to put it in context for people, you know, in terms of Christian music is phenomenally huge industry in the States. It is like it's a completely parallel industry to the non-Christian, what you call secular industry, but it is just enormous. And this guy was a superstar.
And presumably made a vast amount of money from it.
I would say so.
And see, part of the secret of this is reflected in New Zealand as well, where festivals, Christian music festivals, could be some of the biggest festivals that took place.
Yeah.
You know, it's really, really striking that, well, I mean, Parachute in its time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It was an enormous festival at its peak. Newsboys being one of the acts that used to headline pretty regularly. Newsboys actually, total side note, used to have a New Zealand singer called Phil Urry, but that's a different story.
Interesting though, yes.
But we're talking Michael Tait, and had he been implicated in things before, or did it all come out pretty quickly?
It's all come out very quickly indeed. Of course, no, as soon as somebody went to the police and the police took them seriously, then other names came forward, and it turned out that some of those had tried to raise a concern earlier but had been ignored because, you know, famous character, Christian, so it just couldn't be true. Yeah.
And they were people, from what I'd been reading, the people who had worked with him quite closely and kind of, you know, taken them under their wings and so on. Like, yeah, it's an interesting one because he has done what so many people in Christian power do, which is to do a form of confession that winds up, it's a little difficult for people who are listening who don't necessarily know some of these stories that people like Michael Tait will refer to, but like King David, for example, is one of the big, you know, honourable Christian figures figures for Christianity. You know, King David, lots of people talk about King David, and I mean, you couldn't have found a more flawed person, you know, having to, you know, purposely getting his friend killed in battle so that he can take his wife and all sorts of crazy stuff. But again and again, King David, doesn't he? He sort of says, oh, look, I'm sorry, everybody, and I'm sorry, God, and is forgiven and becomes this kind of really, really beloved character in the Bible. And I feel like that's the trick that people pull in powerful Christianity.
Whereas it ought, in fact, to be a warning explanation that people in, you know, high positions the temptations in high positions are massive,
mm.
and they regularly abuse them. And there's no difference, it would seem, between people who use the name Christian about themselves and others.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think, presumably, the temptations are just as great. You see, I mean, it was quite interesting that the other members of the bands, I think both of them, professed to know nothing, to suspect nothing about this or the use of cocaine and various other drugs, which seems extraordinary. Surely one would get some clue that a person was using substances, I would have thought.
Yeah, I mean, I think surely, because he was also, I mean, a lot of his behaviour sounds so brazen that he absolutely must have been parading at least some of his behaviours. Like, he was a big drinker and a, you know, drug taker. So that, like, he must have normalised that stuff to his entourage, surely.
It seems to me extraordinarily unlikely that people would not have had some concerns at behaviour. But, of course, this is where success becomes a justification. And so you say, oh, wow, if we were to raise any issues, this might harm a success and it mightn't be fair.
Mm.
And they might even use religious arguments, which is quite scary. You know, they would say this is the Lord's work and we don't want to risk its success.
Yeah.
Do you recall when Amy Grant first began singing in a secular context and when she too had to admit to a bit of misbehaviour with substances? I think what made it more inexcusable in the Christian eyes is that she'd gone onto the secular music scene in some way.
Yeah, it's an... Sorry, go ahead.
So something is very wrong, and the very wrong is, I think, something to do with that most of these Christian music festivals are actually just a slightly cleaner version with no alcohol on sale of the secular music festival.
Yeah.
And so the phenomenon that you're faced with should be treated in exactly the same way.
Yeah.
That there's going to be this huge acclamation of the good musicians, and some of these musicians were exceptionally good. I think.
Yeah.
It has to be said that, you know, Amy Grant's crossover was because she was of an equal with secular performers of that particular style.
Yeah, and there's other examples throughout the history, you know, countless examples, really, because, as you say, what's missing from the story usually is a human being succumbs to temptations of power rather than Christian, not perfect.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think the other interesting aspect to it, which I'd be quite intrigued to hear what you think about this, is that, I mean, the original Christian rock, if you like to call it that, or CCM, you know, contemporary Christian music, as it was called, was worship music. It was, to my mind, often nauseating, but at least it was being used to create what they regarded as appropriate sort of a spiritual vibe. And there are, it's not that was ever lost, but a good deal of it became increasingly just performance-oriented, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And one thing, I mean, I was talking to my sister Lisa, who lives in LA making music, and it sounds like there are people who, like worship bands, you know, big church bands these days, hire musicians, and that doesn't matter if they're Christians or not. Like, it's just a job for some people, and it's crazy. It's a totally different world.
Yes, because the process of, you know, planning tours and, you know, getting your name booked and things like that, they operate in exactly the same way for Christian and secular bands, in a slightly different, set. But then there's the different musical genres, each have their own circles, and Christian contemporary music was just one of those circles, I think.
Yeah. What's frustrating about it for me is that, I mean, The situation with someone like Michael Tate, if he was a pop star and had been accused of rape of any kind, you know, male or females or whoever it was, then, like, I mean, people get away with stuff all the time that they shouldn't, and even when they've been caught, people, comedians like Louis C.K. or whoever, you know, just kind of come back, you know, no problem after a wee while. But there's an extra layer to it when it's Christianity, is that there's this idea, it's a, and it's of forgiveness, and it's misused, I think. Forgiveness is you know, this thing that gets wheeled out when someone just wants to stay popular. And it's there's not a lot of forgiveness that goes around for people who aren't, you know, for poor people or for, like,
forgiveness,
you know.
Forgiveness does not let you, in the Christian context, go back to what you were previously doing.
That's right. There should be consequences is different to forgiveness, you know, and that's what I believe in. I do think that someone like him, I mean, I just briefly looked on the Facebook comments. There's a CCM magazine is the big Christian contemporary music magazine.
Oh, that's the big magazine, yes.
Yeah, and so they've posted a story about it saying that he's, you know, made a confession and everything. And literally, like, 99% of the comments that I'm reading are people saying, it's so good that he's confessed and is being accountable, and, you know, I hope that he's getting the prayer and the you know, support that he needs, and you know, we need to work on forgiveness. And it's like, hold on a second, what about these guys whose, like, lives he's ruined? You know, that's the thing that's always missing. It's like, you know, they're just going to be completely forgotten in the situation.
Oh, well, I mean, the secular courts are going to deal with
it. Exactly, exactly. But it's you know what I mean about the frustration of it. There's no, the discussion
well,
is...
indeed. Yeah. Indeed, yes. That all the focus still remains on the hero, the great story, and how precious he is to us.
That's right. It becomes, again, a King David story.
Yep.
I used to be a big fan of a guy called Kevin Prosh back in the day, and he, and his crime was, you know, adultery. You know, he cheated on his wife, and he was this big sort of spiritual, sort of a Bruce Springsteen-y character, I guess, in the Christian music world. And you know, he vanished as well. But it was, it's interesting. It's, if somebody's popular enough, like Kevin Prosh wasn't massively popular. So he kind of lost his platform. But someone like Michael Tate, you know he'll be back with a solo album addressing all of his, you know, human foibles, and it'll make millions, and who knows whether he'll make a change in his life or not. But it's just, the fact is, he'll be back, you know. And
And, I mean, the reason why abuse happens in religious contexts is, firstly, religious people are often so naive, so forgiving, and do not think of the consequences for those who suffer from it. But then maybe the other side is also that perhaps, well, precisely what you're saying, that they kind of want, they need things to keep going, so don't disrupt us too much.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, because it's, you know, because if one person, you know, if the machine has to become accountable as well as the one man, then it all falls apart. But the other thing, you know, we've only got a couple of minutes left, but I think I mentioned recent, when we did first talk about it, like, his repression must have been I'm not forgiving him just yet, but I'm saying that, you know, because this was a homosexual abuse,
it became particularly,
you know,
unspeakable.
It was exactly, and probably, you know, in some world or another, you have to feel sorry for him that he was probably repressed for such a long time, but you know, his behaviour is inexcusable and horrific, and it's. Just speaks
and
to.
Unfortunately, this is where abusing people who've got no power is something that people with power can do, and religious power is as capable of abuse as any other sort of power.
Yes, absolutely. And for more information on that, you can read my dad, David Crawley's PhD thesis, Spiritual Abuse in the Church.
Exactly. Hey, well called.
Shout out, Dad. Hey, okay, Peter, thank you so much for that. And we will not be playing, following this up with Newsboys or DC Talk.
No.
They will not be on the playlist. And yes, worth reading about. It's a pretty horrible situation. It's in The Guardian, and you can find out about it if you want to. But yeah, let's hope that he doesn't release that solo album and get a whole lot of fans again.
Very good.
All right. Thank you, Peter.
Okay.
See you later. Bye-bye. Yeah, it was a tricky time.